apprentices a dying breed. In some trades, apprenticeship rates can be as low as 40%. That's a far cry from the pathways we used to see for kids wanting to work with their hands. But one organisation has been trying a different approach in hopes of increasing completion rates. And it involves businesses thinking about the generational differences between employers and employees. Luke Radford is with us. He's General Manager with Apprenticeship Careers Australia, an initiative of the New South Wales Business Chamber, which is now called Business Australia. Now, you've got a pretty unusual model. You loan out apprentices to businesses. That sounds a bit more like indentured servitude than a traditional apprenticeship. How does it work in practice?
Very good. Yeah, we're very similar to a labour hire business in that we hire apprentices permanently on our books and we loan them out to them for periods of time. So we might have some of our employers that will take apprentices for the full 4 years, but there's plenty of others that need them for an up-and-coming project that they might have going, so that they might utilise us for a three-month period, hand them back to us, and then we go off and find them further employment so they continue on their apprenticeship and complete their trade.
So is that because there's been some job insecurity with apprentices in the past and you wanted to knock that on the head?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the grit training industry has been around for 30-odd years. It's not that well known across the country. However, you know, it's certainly a great option for young people if they do want to complete their trade rather than just going to one small employer whose work might run out for whatever reason. If they come to a business similar to ours, we can, you know, endeavour to get them to complete their apprenticeship or traineeship.
So what's going on with completion rates in New South Wales where you're based? Is it that apprentices are dropping out or employers are saying we can't keep you anymore?
Yeah, certainly a combination of both. You know, the numbers at the moment are around the 50% dropout rate across the board. Some industries, though, are much lower. If we look at things like hospitality, with chefs and butchers and the like, they're down to 35%. Some of the other trades, automotive, are around the mid-40s, but there's others that are much higher, electrical trades around the 65%, and engineering's in the 60s also.
That's interesting with automotive. I would have thought that even though the manufacturing has gone offshore, the maintenance would still be a key Australian service industry.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, the automotive, I suppose the young people doing the automotive trade might not necessarily be as engaged as what ones like electrical might be.
So what's changed, do you think, Luke, in the decades since apprenticeships were bigger and had more higher completion rates?
I think one of the big changes is the university push, and there's certainly a push that we find with parents wanting their young people to do apprenticeships or traineeships. The knowledge of what's actually involved in an apprenticeship or traineeship has certainly decreased. If we look at the school system, school career advisors generally have been to school, then gone off to uni, then back at school, so they potentially don't have as much knowledge on what the trades are and what the opportunities for young people might be.
And Luke, then there's this idea of generational differences between apprentices and their mentors. When you're interacting with some of the young people that you come into contact with, how do you see those differences play out in practice?
Yeah, from our perspective, I really believe it comes down to communication. I think if I can call it the more mature employer of the apprentice probably needs to understand that the differences that, you know, a young person might be feeling about different things, and the same with young people really understanding what is going on with the client's business. We did some research recently and found that would you believe the radio station that they listened to was one of the biggest challenges that the young people have. They weren't interested in listening to certain radio stations, and we've implemented within our business, the apprentice is able to take control of the airways for a day or so per week, just so they've got that engagement and understanding that, you know, they're also important to the employer.
Well, that's really interesting, isn't it? Such a powerful thing that we might dismiss. But what about when it comes to the mentoring relationship? Because that's a key part of the programs that you run. Does it complicate things if you feel like you're coming from different sides of this big divide?
Yeah, so our business, you know, we have mentors in place, and we find that by having the mentor in place, we can actually nip things in the bud before they actually become an issue. So we're talking to both the host employer, so the person that's employing the young person, and also the young person, and finding out the difficulties that might be going on, and getting them to come together quite quickly to try and nip that issue in the bud.
I'm just really interested to hear if there's a workplace where everyone's secretly happy that it's on some kind of easy listening station when the apprentice gets control. Actually, I really like this new style of music. We're also joined today by Paul Hussey. He's a builder based in Bathurst in New South Wales. Paul, welcome to Life Matters.
How are you going?
Good. Now, you recently took on an apprentice that you'd been connected with via Luke Radford's program. Why did you do that? Why did you introduce the middleman instead of just advertising for that apprentice?
Well, at the time, we were sort of just starting out, and it was it seemed a bit easier to have access to all their contacts, and especially starting out, then they can at least, the end of each week, send you an invoice and all the hard work and paperwork sort of taken care of. So that was the main reason to begin with.
A bit of outsourcing?
Yes.
Yeah. And does it surprise you to learn that apprenticeship completion rates are so low in some areas?
It did when I found out, especially off you guys the other day. Yeah, I had no idea the completion rates were that low. It surprises me, especially here in this town. Like, you don't really hear of a lot of apprentices sort of dropping out and stuff like that. But yeah, it must obviously that the numbers don't lie, so yeah.
Well, let's hear from one young apprentice who might be able to give us a perspective into why that's happening. Hamish McKay recently completed his carpentry apprenticeship with Paul Hussey, and here are his thoughts on what it's like starting an apprenticeship.
It's a big change coming straight out of school into a working environment, working 8 to 10 hours a day. It can just be a big shock for the system. Most young people, all their mates are going out and working. They'd prefer to go work in a factory and earn twice as much as a first year would, or they just prefer to go to uni and study instead.
Now, Paul, it sounds like Hamish's group of friends have quite a few options open to them, study or more lucrative work. Does that help explain why apprenticeships aren't so appealing to some young kids these days?
I think so, but I think also maybe the fact that they maybe can't see the bigger picture, like, because after, you know, 3.5 years now, because it's not really 4 years full term. It's as soon as they're competent and they finish TAFE. So after that, they can earn more, like the same, if not more money than their mates were at the beginning. So it's, yeah, I assume the first couple of years would definitely deter people. But after, and obviously over the years, the government's, the wages and stuff's gotten better for first year apprentices. But yeah, I think that's got a big thing to do with it, yeah, for sure.
Luke Radford, what do you think is going on here? Is it about apprentices, expectations or the economic situation or the demands on businesses? I know you talked a little bit about that before, but do you think it's something about what's happening in apprentices' lives that means that they're less likely to complete their apprenticeship?
Yeah, I think it is a big part of it. And, you know, as Paul mentioned, that the pays have gone up slightly, but they're still at a, you know, relatively low level for a first-year apprentice, but as Paul mentioned, once they do get into becoming a tradesperson, they pretty much can write their own checkbook. I think young people really need to understand they need to be in there for the long haul. University, you can go to university and not earn any money along the way and have a huge big hex debt at the very end, but you know that the vet pathway they can earn while they're learning and then ultimately run their own business down the track.
What about the idea that we might need to make apprenticeships more welcoming for people who haven't traditionally felt included in trades, women, people from queer communities, culturally and linguistically diverse communities? How do we do that?
Yeah, I think getting into the schools and having an understanding that apprenticeships and traineeships are open for different groups. We've recently engaged Chloe Legazza, who's a Matilda's player, to do some work with us to talk about young females entering into, I suppose, non-traditional trades. And, you know, that program that we're about to launch over the coming weeks and looks like it's going to be really successful for us.
Great to hear. Paul Hussey, I understand that technology is a big thing that's changed in your interactions with the young people that you come into contact with over the past few years. How does that play out for you?
Obviously social media and the ability to communicate a lot quicker has changed the way things run. But, yeah, from even simple things like being able to text message all your employees, you know, the night before for what you need to do in the morning or stuff like that sort of takes out the awkwardness maybe because, yeah, I think a lot of young people would prefer to text over talk, but, like, times have definitely changed. But yeah, it is, you know, rolling on and moving forward with it. You've sort of got to take it on board these days, really.
You're having to snatch at them in the evenings?
Yeah.
So, Paul, do you feel like you're learning things from these young kids as well as being able to mentor them in the trade that they've chosen?
I think so. Definitely brings a bit of life back into the team, because they've, you know, they're living the life that you once were living at that age. So, and also on a serious note, yeah, like through TAFE and stuff, they're learning new techniques and different ways to do things. And yeah, so it's, you got to listen and take those things on board. So, yeah.
And that all sounds like part of a successful recipe for mentoring relationship, whatever era you're living in. Luke, do you have hope that we can turn these completion rates around for apprentices?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, our business, our completion rates are much higher than what the industry is. We're sitting just under 70% right across the board for trades and non-trades, which is, you know, significantly higher than what the industry is. We're spending a lot of our time at the front end, so making sure we get that recruitment right. So we've engaged a youth psychologist, Danielle Buckley, who's helping us with our screening and matching process, and making sure ultimately that we've got the right candidate for the right employer. That's really the key for us, is ensuring that the young person that we place into employment is with a client that you know, works in for what they need.
You'd also want to be sure that that young person is safe. And we hear a bit about workplace bullying. I mean, it's quite an intense relationship at times, apprentice and boss, and the apprentice can lack power in that relationship. Is that something that you've had to address in the search to raise those completion rates?
Yeah, from our perspective, you know, bullying for you know, was an issue 20 years ago. There was, you know, there was high levels of bullying that was going on in the business. The New South Wales Business Chamber, or now Business Australia, in 2018 put together a youth census where we had 34,000 people that actually responded to the youth census, and 72% of them rated their manager as excellent or very good, and only 6% as poor or not good. So from our perspective, we think the vast majority of people aren't getting bullied, and there isn't that issue out there in the workplace.
And it's great to hear there's some optimism too. If you're getting your completion rates up to 70%, then there's hope for the areas where they're still down around the 40% mark. Luke and Paul, thanks so much for joining us on Life Matters today.
Thank you.
Luke Radford, Regional General Manager of Apprenticeship Careers Australia, which is an initiative of the New South Wales Business Chamber, which is now called Business Australia, and Paul Hussey, who has taken on an apprentice through the program that Luke runs. Thanks too to Hamish McKay for sharing his thoughts.